That was written by John Moore, an Irishman, pastor, and he was a pastor in Canada. He's now in heaven, I believe. Well, the scheduled speaker for this morning is Dr. Bobby Robertson. I'm not him. Someone said to me many years ago, said, you know, Brother Childs, you need to be ready to preach, pray, or die at any moment. Some of you other fellows may have heard that as well. And on Tuesday, I guess it was Tuesday afternoon, Dr. Beale found out that Brother Robinson wouldn't be here and asked if I would take his place. I want to say, first of all, that I don't think I can take Dr. Robertson's place. He's quite a man. And I can't even take the Lord's place. I want the Lord to take my place. That's what I want. So this morning I want to talk with you about, I'm going to talk with you. I'm not going to put up an overhead or anything like that. That'll come in the fall in my classes. I may preach. I mean, you know, sometimes I do that. Over the years, and there have been a lot of them, the two most frequent questions I have been asked are, one, how can I have assurance of salvation? And secondly, how can I know the will of God? I want us to bow our heads, please. And I want to say this. I don't think that it's a coincidence that, something happenstance that Dr. Robertson couldn't be here this morning. I think God has a plan about everything. I don't think God is ever taken by surprise. I think that some of you have heard me say time and again that there are no uh-ohs in heaven. God knows exactly what's going on, and God's in charge of everything. And so, obviously, God has something special for us today, for me as well as you. I'd like us to speak with the Lord about that. Would you join me in praying a prayer, something like this? Dear Lord God, you've got something special for me today. Please don't let me miss it. Father, I want everything that you have for me. Speak to my heart. And, oh, dear Lord, how I pray that as you speak to hearts and lives this morning, men and women in this room will hear what you have to say and will respond to it, not just intellectually, but may the hearts be touched and moved. And may they be willing to obey you. I thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen. I'm not going to answer the first question. That's another message altogether about assurance of salvation. But I do want to answer the second question, but I want us to think about it in a different way. So often when we talk about knowing the will of God, we have this little formula that we go through and so forth. And I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to get into that. I want rather to look at perhaps what might be considered by some an obscure verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 50. Will you turn there with me, please? Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to look at one verse, and we're going to see what God has to say to us in that verse. Isaiah chapter 50. Do you have it? It's on page 758. if you've got the right kind of Bible. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord that obeyeth the voice of his servant? And incidentally, his servant there, as we look at it in the context, his servant has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's prophetic. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. In context, of course, the verse has reference to Israel. But as with all Old Testament scripture, there is a universal principle that can be applied to your lives and to mine. I think the principle has to do with knowing the will of God. I think the principle that's set forth is knowing the will of God. You notice the question that is asked? The question that is asked is this: that walketh in darkness and hath no light. And the question is asked of those that fear the Lord. Please notice, who among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? You fear the Lord, you obey the voice of his servant. Speaking to, as far as I'm concerned, that's speaking about really knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I am convinced that as we put our reverence and trust and faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work for us, I am convinced that we don't need to walk in darkness. But the question is, to those that have fear the Lord, that reverence his name, that is, that to those who obey his word. Now, those are two very important statements, fearing the Lord and obeying his word. See, one of the things that I'm concerned about with over the years is the fact that so many get all of the facts, all of the information up here in the intellect, and it doesn't go any further. It doesn't work out through our hands and our mouth and our minds and our feet. It doesn't come out. But you'll notice that the question is asked, why are you walking in darkness? I wonder if it might not be as the possibility is, number one, that you might not be saved. Because this question is to those that are born again, I believe. They fear the Lord. They reverence him. They obey the Lord. They do what he tells them to do. I want to tell you something. I don't believe that unsaved people can do that. They may live kind of decent lives and so forth, but as far as reverencing the Lord, as far as obeying the Lord, I don't think that unsaved people can do that. I think it has to do only with saved people. So you're hearing and obeying the word of God. If that's the case, why are you in darkness as to God's plan for you? And incidentally, I'm convinced, and I believe God laid this on my heart, I'm convinced that there are many of you sitting out here in this auditorium that are walking in darkness as far as what God has for you. So I want to look into this a little bit. If you're saved and if you're hearing and obeying the word of God, why are you in darkness as to God's plan for you? You know, oh, my boyfriend, I got to have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a job, my ministry. And as we come down to the end of this school year, many of you will be graduating and you'll be wondering about what your ministry is going to be, whatever happens, whatever goes on. Let me say something to you. You don't have to get into the pastorate of a 200-member church as soon as you graduate from ambassador. In fact, probably after you graduate from ambassador, it'd be a good idea if you got a job and worked and mingled with people, found out what people are, who they are, and what the needs are. That'll fit you probably a whole lot better for a pastorate than what we have done here in this school. Because what we've done here is given you theology and understanding and so forth. But really, and I've said this time and time again, it isn't until you get out in the trenches that you really learn what it's like. We can't, even with the internships and so forth, you can't get it all. So it might be a good idea if you got a job. Well, anyway, the question is, why, if you know the Lord and you love the Lord and you reverence the Lord and you're obeying the Lord, why are you walking in darkness? Why are you walking in darkness and have no light? Well, the question is answered for us. Notice, please, the last part of the verse. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. The word stay is a word that means to lean, to rely on, to rest in. The same word is used in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You don't lean on your own understanding. Our own understanding is corrupted. It really is. So wait a minute. I'm in the master's program here. That doesn't make any difference. Your understanding is still wrong. It's still corrupted. It's only as you surrender and submit and yield to him, only as you lean upon him, only as you rely upon him, it's only then that you have understanding, the right kind of understanding. So if the question applies to you, and it does, if the question applies to you, the answer also applies to you. Notice, please, what it says. Submit yourself, really, this is what it's saying. Submit yourselves and your direction absolutely to the Lord and trust him to shut against you every door but the right one. One of my favorite authors, I have a number of them, but one of my favorite authors is F.B. Meyer. Some of you have heard of him. It's sad that so many of his books are not available anymore, but at any rate, in his book, Back to Bethel, he tells his experience of submitting to the Lord. He said he knew the Lord as his Savior, but he was just struggling and fumbling, and he'd been in the ministry, he'd been pastoring and so forth, and he'd been in the ministry, but he was still struggling and fumbling, and he met this young man at a meeting, I guess it may have been at Keswick. He met this young man, and he noticed that he had something that Meyer didn't have. And he said, I want to talk with you. He said, what is the secret of your power with God? And the young man said, well, he explained a few things to him. And then he asked this question. He said, Mr. Meyer, have you submitted everything to the Lord? And Meyer said that question struck home to him so deeply that he went back to his room. He got on his knees, shut the door, and got on his knees, and he said, God, I want to have your power. I want to have what that young man has. And he said, in what he wrote, he said, it seemed like the Lord spoke to him and said, Meyer, do I have all of your life? And Myra said, Lord, I want to give you. And he said, it seemed like I had a bunch of keys in my hand. He said, I want to give you all of the keys to my life. And he handed this bunch of keys, seemingly in his mind, and this bunch of keys over to the Lord. And he said, the Lord said to me, are they all here? And Myra said, well, all but this one little one. He says, it's a key to a little cabinet in the back of my mind. And God said, you can't have my power until I have all. You want God's power in your life? You want God's direction for your life? Give him everything. What are you holding back? What are you keeping back? You need to submit yourself and your direction absolutely and totally to the Lord and to trust Him to shut against you every door but the right one. Meanwhile, keep on as you are. And consider the absence of direction as direction. Does that sound strange? I want to share with you a personal illustration of that in my life. God allowed me many years ago to plant a church in upstate New York. And God bless. Oh, we were able to see God do some mighty things there. Christian school, 3 or 4 building programs, and growth like you wouldn't believe. God blessed. 9 years after the Lord started that church, He said to me, okay, son, time for you to leave. I said, wait a minute, Lord, you don't understand. I got this building program going on. I've got to take care of that. God said, you want my blessing? You've got to leave. I said, no, I don't think so. I think I better stick with it, Lord. That was in September. And you know, from then, for the next, 4 months, for the next 4 months, God's hand of blessing seemed to be removed. And when, at our annual meeting in January, I resigned. God had gotten me to the place where I was willing to resign. And I resigned. You know what happened? God began to move again. We began to see souls saved. We saw things happening. We saw the building program go forward. We saw God do some mighty wonderful things, some glorious things, because I said yes to Him. But wait a minute. He didn't tell me where to go. He didn't tell me what to do. He didn't give me direction. I loved Him. Still do. I was obedient to Him as far as I know. But I was walking in darkness. I didn't know what God had next for me. I knew God had told me to resign the pastorate. But He did not have an open door for me. And I said, Lord, I have got to have an answer. You call me to preach. You call me to minister the Word of God, and I've got to have an answer. I've got to know what's next. And I'm not getting my orders from the denomination. There wasn't any. I was non-denominational. And then God opened the door to pastor in South Carolina. I didn't know anything about it, but God worked in it, moved me down there. And after 7 years of pastoring there, this was back in the 80s, after 7 years of pastoring there, And God again told me to resign. And again, God was blessing, God was moving, but he wanted me to resign. And so having learned something previously, I said, all right, Lord, and I resigned. But again, I was walking in darkness. He did not have an open door for me. So, I was asked if I would start a church in Spartanburg. And when I met with the people, no way. There was just all kinds of problems there that wouldn't work out at all. And then I looked in another area as a possibility of starting a church, but God said no. Now, beloved, I am an impatient individual. I have trouble waiting. I have a lot of trouble waiting. But God said, lean on me. Lean on me. And then he opened the door in his time to Ambassador Baptist College. I want to give you another illustration in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. You know the story, I'm sure. Paul has been preaching in the provinces of Galatia, and in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Wait a minute, God, I'm called to preach. I'm called to preach. You're forbidding me to preach. No, just forbidding him to preach in Asia, that is, in those provinces in Galatia. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. Spirit of God again said no. So they passing, verse 8, they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, or Troy, on the coast of Turkey, across from Europe. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So, here is Paul, walking in darkness. I'm sure. We don't know. We have no idea how long it was before verse 9 came to pass in that passage when the Macedonian vision came to him. But I want to tell you this, something I learned from an evangelist, many years ago, while I was walking in darkness. He said, he who waits on God loses no time. And I've said this in classes, I've said this time and again, that doing nothing might be exactly what God's will is for you. Waiting might just be what God wants you to do. Someone once wrote, never run before God's providence. If God bids you to ride, he'll provide a horse. So the first thing to do when you're walking in darkness is nothing. That can't be. Listen, when you're rattled, don't rush. When you're rattled, don't rush. The flesh would have you busy, but God would have you wait. And I want to tell you something, beloved, and I speak from a couple of years' experience. The will of God, the perfect will of God, is well worth waiting for. Always. While we're busy, we're not resting. And we will not hear His voice. You know what it says in Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You really want to know God? You got to be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Probably my favorite passage of Scripture, if it's possible to have one passage over another, is Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring to pass. Verse 7, the verse that God gave me for this year. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Psalm 27, again, verses that I'm sure you know, but sometimes we need to review. Psalm 27, excuse me, and verse 11. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Isn't that great? Teach me thy way, O Lord. You know, our problem is we want our way. God says, I want you to learn my way. And sometimes my way is to just sit and wait. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. God's emphasizing something there. So trust and wait. While we trust, God can work. While we're waiting, God can do something. I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. You know all about Elijah, I'm sure. In 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I like what it says in verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilgal, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You'll notice that he stands before the king, and he rebukes the king. But before he could stand before the king, he had met before God. He had been with God, the Lord God, before whom I stand. Now, incidentally, he didn't say, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stood. I stand. It was going on at that time. And the word of the Lord came unto him. Came unto Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. And God said to him in verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. I heard a preacher one time say that God can never really reveal His will until He has hidden us for a while. Hide thyself. Hide thyself. As he hid himself, the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to him, and before God can use us so often, and before he can speak to us, and before he can use us, oftentimes he has to hide us, and that's exactly what he did with Elijah. Chapter 18, chapter 17, he hid him. Chapter 18, he stands on Mount Carmel and calls down fire from God, from the heavens, and destroys the prophets of Baal. At this great victory, and in chapter 19, look at what Elijah did. He ran. He ran. I think it's interesting that he sat down under a juniper tree and he said, "Oh God, take away my life. I don't want to live anymore." If that was the case, why didn't he stay where he was? Jezebel would have taken care of that for him. He ran. But you know, it wasn't until he stopped that God could speak to him. Look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 19. Chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Verse 9, and he came thither, this is chapter 19, 1 Kings 19, verse 9, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. What was he doing? He wasn't running. He settled down. And when he settled down and stopped, God's word could come to him. Some of you do not get God's word because you're too busy. You're running too much. What you need to do is to stop. Stop so that God can speak to you. If you want direction from the Lord, look at this, please. He came thither to a cave and he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, here's Elijah, feeling sorry for himself." The problem with having pity parties is that you only have three people that will attend. Me, myself, and I, you know. And "What doest thou here, Elijah?" "Well, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. I've been busy. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." God said, "I want to talk to you, Elijah." And in verse 11, God said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." You see, God does not have to shout at us. We preachers do that. All God wants is for you to sit down, be quiet, keep in tune with Him. Now I want to tell you something, beloved. The only way that God speaks to us today is through His Word, the Bible. This is God's voice to you and to me. If you don't spend time in the Word of God, every day of your life, you'll never know what God has to say to you. I remember I got saved in November of 1958, and my wife and I were saved together, and I didn't know anything about Christianity, absolutely nothing. I come out of Roman Catholicism. And I guess it was the following summer, 1959, summer of 1959, we went to a Bible conference, Bible camp, for a week. And there at that Bible camp, I learned that one of the things that I ought to do every day of my life was have a quiet time every morning. A quiet time. Do you? Do you have a quiet time? Do you spend time alone with God? You say, hey, you live in a dorm. You can still find a place to hide somewhere and meet with the Lord so that He can talk to you. Because I'll tell you, while you're running and doing and so forth, He's not going to talk to you. You won't take time. Let me ask you a question. What time do you get up in the morning? Then get up a half an hour earlier. Used to, when I worked with the teenagers back 75, 100 years ago, whatever it was, I don't know. When I worked with the teenagers, we had what we called an NVNB club. That was no Bible, no breakfast. And I have to say this, there have been times when I've come into school to teach and be here and so forth for chapel or something like that, when I have had my quiet time and not my breakfast. It's better to do that. If you want direction from the Lord, beloved, trust and wait. And while you are doing that, do you know what God is doing? I want to go back to that personal illustration. Because when I was walking in darkness, I said, God, I have got to have an answer. And I said, I'm going to lock myself in my room. Well, not lock, but close the door. Away from everyone and everything. And I'm going to start reading the Bible. And I'm going to read it until you tell me what's going on. In my practice back in those years, it seemed like God spoke to me mostly and gave direction mostly from the book of Isaiah. So I said, Lord, I'm going to start with Isaiah 1. I'm going to read until you tell me what's going on. Will you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah, please? Unless you're already there. Why don't you look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Starting in verse 18. And I was on my knees with my Bible open before me for I don't know how long. Started with Isaiah chapter 1 and kept reading and said, God, I'm going to keep reading until you give me the answer. It was Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18 before God gave me the answer. Therefore, verse 18, and therefore will the Lord wait. I said, wait a minute. I thought I was waiting. But God was waiting. Can you imagine? God is waiting on me, a creature. Therefore will the Lord wait. Now, why was He waiting? That He may be gracious unto you. I'll tell you, as long as I can do, I don't need the grace of God. Isn't that right? Isn't that our attitude so often? That He may be gracious to you, and therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is God of, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed, now watch this, blessed are all they that wait for Him. He's waiting and we're waiting. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers and hear. Verse 21. He said, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. As I wait on him, there's a voice behind me. When I turn the right way, well, if I turn the wrong way, the voice says, no, this is the way. God will give you specific direction as you wait upon Him. Are you walking in darkness? You don't have to. All you really have to do is to trust and wait. Isn't that what our scripture says? Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of the servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Who is there who walks in darkness and hath no light? I want direction for my life. I need to have some answers. I need to have direction. I need to know what the next move is. I need to know. Just sit still. Let him trust in the name of his Lord, in the name of the Lord, and stay, rest, wait upon his God. You say, well, it doesn't say anything in there about me having a certain young lady or a certain young man for a husband or a wife. Doesn't say anything in there about me whether I should go to work at McDonald's or what I should do. Doesn't say anything in there about whether I should go to this place or that place or some other place. No, doesn't say that. It tells you what you need in order for Him to tell you where to go and what to do. Rest. Trust. Wait. And again, while you're waiting, He is waiting. And the reason that He is waiting is so that He might be gracious unto you. See, God wants to pour grace out upon us more than we want to receive it. If you want God's grace in every situation, rest and wait. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I asked you earlier, as we began this chapel service, I asked you please to speak to hearts and lives, and that men and women in these pews would hear not with their heads, but with their hearts, that they might respond and do what you want them to do. May they be obedient to what the Holy Spirit has said to them. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, has God spoken to you about something? Are there some keys that you're holding on to? Are you in a hurry? Are you rushing here and rushing there? You want to know God's direction? You're willing to sit and wait and rest? Can I include you in this prayer as I close? Would, if that's the case, would you slip up your hand? Yes, God bless you. Yes, all over. God bless you. Amen. 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 Father, you've seen the hands and you know the hearts behind the hands. So I pray that your Holy Spirit, who is doing a work in the hearts and the lives of thy people, that today they may no longer walk in darkness, but to realize that all they need to do is to rest and trust, rely upon thee. Minister to them in a very special way as we close the service. And I thank you for it in Christ's name.